afternoon and welcome to the Thursday, May 29th, 2008 edition of the Investigative Journal. I'm your host, Greg Szymanski, and I'm here live today. My guest is Tony Alamo, Pastor Tony Alamo. He's on for his monthly visit. And we had a lot to talk about today with Tony. He's been under some fire lately. The heat is flying. Anybody that criticizes the Vatican now basically is going to find themselves in a world of trouble. And I mean that because this New World Order scheme is at its point now where we're seeing, even in America right now, $5 gas by July 5th, food prices rising. And anybody who gets to the truth, in fact, folks, there's really two worlds out here. You live in the world of truth, and then when you take a trip like I have now across the heartland, you enter into this fantasy land where people still think there's a hope and a prayer with this government. And I really want to tell you right now, the beginning signs of this third world country in America that the papacy wants to form is coming to fruition. You're seeing $4 gas all over the country, people starting to complain, and hopefully these complaints will lead into something good. Now, the mass data that I've collected on this show over the years shows for a fact that the papacy is together with this government through the Jesuit order to take this country into the tank. And Pastor Alamo, my guest today, has been talking about this for 40 years. He's been under some heat lately. And I tell you what, anybody who criticizes the Vatican and the real story behind what's going on in our government today is going to feel more pressure as time goes on. Pastor Alamo, how are you today?
Real fine. How are you doing, Greg?
You know, Pastor, since the last time we talked, I've seen in this country just a massive change of opinion in people. I'm going through the country right now, and people are really upset. And one thing drives them to that. When they have to go to the tank and look at that four in front of that gasoline tank when they fill it up. And I just wondered, do you think the pressure is going to be on all over the country now if anybody really wants to get at the truth here?
Oh, unbelievable. It's just, we know, and I know for sure because I have friends in government that have bailed out of government, and they say that the gas prices are going up to at least $10 a gallon. And the thing is that we have a reserve here in the United States that would last for 200 years. The whole thing is a sham. Another thing, too, is that if this was a righteous government and if it wasn't run by the Pope or the Vatican or Satan, the same thing, we would allow our people here in the United States to drill for oil. Well, they said we're so concerned about the ecology and how everything is neat and clean and everything, and so God is just showing the people in the world that he doesn't care anything about, that he's wrecking towns because people won't believe the easy-to-understand truth of what's going on. This is all engineered. It's all planned. These things that they're doing today, hiking up the price of oil, is a planned thing. They planned these things years ago. What they're doing is just making you believe things that are not true, just as in I mentioned before on your program how in World War II they made it look like they were totally out of milk and cheese and butter. I mean, we couldn't get butter to save your soul. If you went to get a pound of butter, even I was living in Lewistown, Montana, that's where the people, that's the dairy belt of Montana, and a farmer was scared to death to give you a pound of butter because he was afraid that the Vatican would kill him for giving him. And now they're making it look as that there's no more gas. It's over with. They're dumping that stuff into the ocean is what it is. There's plenty of gas. The whole world is filled with gas. The United States is filled with oil. And they're just making everyone feel the great thumb of Satan, which is coming from Rome. there isn't anything like that happening. It's just, when I brought that up before, around 15 years ago, maybe 20 years ago, there was gas lines all around the block. They couldn't get enough gas. I brought that out in one of the pieces of literature that I wrote, and then all of a sudden there was some miraculously gas everywhere. But now they feel they've got people so deceived that there's no more gas anymore, and but it's just going to go up to 10, and God only knows, maybe $50 a gallon.
Well, I think it's geared also to spread hatred towards this fake Muslim war they've created, so that they blame it on the Muslims, that the gas is going up because of what you're doing to us. And it's so simple to figure out when you think about it. If we are the great power militarily, we should be able to control what they're doing over there. So I think people should start understanding that it's our government in complicity with these people that are causing this. And it's pretty simple when you've been researching for the truth for a long time, you can figure it out. But I think these spikes in prices may lead many other people to start really questioning what's going on. Hopefully it won't be too late. But, I walked into a store the other day, a gasoline station, and the lady looked at me and she says, yeah, and I heard today it's going to be up to $7 a gallon by the middle of summer.
Yeah. Well, the thing is if we've conquered that country, why, there shouldn't be any problem with the, taking the gas. When you conquer someplace, why can't you? Just like they think they've conquered us and they're taking people's children away from them, this is... Whenever anything like that happens, what you can say is that you're living under communism. Now, democracy is supposed to be of the people, by the people, for the people. But how is that so when they're taking people's kids away from them, when there isn't anything that they've done wrong? And, yeah. I mean, they're just making that up against people that are true Christians. They want everyone to believe that only Catholicism is correct. Somebody wrote me a letter and said, how long has your church been in authority? Said, we've been in authority since for 2,000 years. I said, no, we are the Jews. The Catholics were never in charge of anything. The Catholics in Rome and the Pope is the Antichrist. Now, we who are Jews, we were the ones that wrote the entire Bible, so that puts us in charge. God gave it to us. And then, back 2,000 years, Christ came, and they try to make Peter a Pope. He never was a Pope. He was a Jew, and they were all waiting. The actual Christian church began on the day of Pentecost, when they were all waiting in the upper room for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In other words, from power for on high. God was going to give them power, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He says, ye shall have power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And with that power, you also have the spirit of discernment, so that you can tell all of the evil things that this Antichrist regime is doing to us. And they think that they've got everybody hoodwinked, but there's people like you and I and many others that are getting hip to it. I mean, if they just believe that story that I told them, they were dumping steak. We couldn't get steak. We couldn't get butter. People that smoked couldn't get cigarettes because they said the people... that soldiers overseas were using all of it. And I told my mother, even when I was 7 years old, I said, how could that be? I said, it's the same amount of soldiers that were here. It's even less now because some of them are being killed. Why are we not able to get a stick of butter or a steak or some hamburger or anything like that anymore? Come to find out, my wife was married to an enforcer of the Pipefitters Union. If anyone wouldn't, if they tried to cross the picket lines, well, he was recruited to beat them up. And so he also was recruited to be on those barges that were dumping all that butter in the ocean, steaks, nylon stockings, cigarettes, everything had to go. They just dumped it in. Yeah, we couldn't even get leather to have shoes. We were wearing cardboard shoes back then. This is the Vatican. They were in charge then, and they figured that that they've got everybody suckered to the point that now we can tell them that there's no more oil, that we've got to get down and start making petroleum out of corn.
Well, you know, the thing, Pastor, is that once you can explain, for example, using the high gas prices as a plus for the truth to get at the truth, I think it's a great way to talk to people and say, do you really understand why the prices are high? And once people start feeling it, I think, in their pocketbook, like they're going to in the next year, I think they'll start listening to the story, because what you've said for 40 years is so true, that it is not just the government, it's not just geopolitical, it's a combination of the two, a religious and a geopolitical struggle that we're up against. And the Catholic Church and the Vatican never has surrendered its claim to wanting world domination, and people need to understand this. And what this shows me, and I think it'll show so many other people, is their complete control over our government. And that's the scary thing. And I think we could use it as a way to maybe slow this down by more people coming to understand this combination of this crusade in Iraq, the church doing, the Vatican working like they did in World War II, the same way, working with Hitler, Stalin, Mussolini, Roosevelt, all of them on the same team, and nothing's really changed. The names have changed. Bush, and the leaders in the Middle East, and the leaders in Israel, and the leaders in Russia, all working together again for global domination. And I think if we can get people to see this now, by first using these high gas prices as a wedge to say, listen, now do you really understand why they're up, the prices are like this? It's not just political. What do you think?
Well, that's for sure. I have no thoughts on it. I just have the Word of God that said that Satan would, in fact, he's been cast down from heaven, and now he's full of rage because he knows that his time is short. He's definitely going to hell, and so he's doing everything that he can in his power to deceive the entire world into believing in him, as he had Eve and Adam to believe in him. He went to them and told them that you're not going to die. She says God is just a big bully. He wants everyone to worship him, and he wants everyone to say, he would tell all the angels in heaven that God was laughing at them when they'd fall down before him and worship him, when God isn't that way at all. But anyway, he says that when he's thrown down to earth, he's going to do everything he could to get world power and dominion. He loves to see people suffer. The Lord came into the world so that people wouldn't suffer anymore. Even though we will suffer, he said that if we will suffer and not forsake him, if we'll patiently serve him, the day is going to come that Satan will be destroyed. He started all the wars. The Bible says that the city of the seven hills or mountains is where Satan's seat is. This and Satan in this point in the Bible is called the Great Red Dragon. Pope, all the popes are the embodiment of Satan. Satan embodies them, rather. And they have methodically, Satan is an incredible deceiver. God doesn't hide that fact. Satan is a deceiver, and he's deceived people into believing that there's no butter, there's no leather, there's no parachute. We had to use all the silk for the boys for parachutes. We have to do all this, and now there's no gas, and they're trying to mobilize everybody, immobilize them to where they can't drive anymore, because they're getting ready to get machine guns and go into your homes and tell you, you know, whose child is that?
Mm-hmm.
Is that your child, or how old is your wife? This is dictatorship. I keep telling people over and over again that this is Satan's dictatorship, that he wants people to believe that he has the right to, you know, take blood tests on your children. And to me, you know, I just don't want that bunch of lice telling me that they're going to have to stick needles in my children's arm to find out if I'm the real dad. I admit I'm the real dad of my children, but they try to make it look like people have many wives, and even if they did, it's biblical. And besides, it is not of the satanic government to take power and dominion over people that are of the Lord. The people of the Lord have been given dominion of this earth. Satan took it by default. He lied and said that they would not die, but they did. And now he's trying to tell everybody that we have to listen to him. But when the Lord came and we became born again, he lived in us. Now he's taking the world over by us. I will not receive this lie that there's no gas. I won't receive the lie that there's no butter, or that there's no food. These weasels are paying farmers billions of dollars to not grow food. That's why there's a famine. That's why people are without food. If after that those things that I said about World War II happened, how could anybody believe this ungodly, wretched, filthy, lying people? They've brainwashed everybody into believing that it's all right, and they are going after children that are in actual Christian churches, and yet you never see them attacking these little children. Can you imagine some little 4 and 5, this is really hard to say, but little 4 and 5 year old boys giving sex to these old rats, these Catholic priests? They're homosexuals. Here they are giving them oral sex, little 3 and 4 year old boys. Is that what people in this country would like to to see, that their little child would be doing that to these old buzzards?
Yeah, I know. This was, you know, I wanted to touch on this because I just saw a headline the other day, and I know you have a ministry in California, and your roots came from Hollywood before you were saved, and people who know you were a record producer, and then you switched your life totally around when you found Christ. But I saw a headline with a big sign. It said July 17th, I believe that's the date. Either it's June 17th or July 17th. Finally in California, everyone can get married. Gay marriages will be allowed as of June or July 17th. And I wanted to get your thoughts about that.
Well,
it's crazy to me.
Yeah, well, it's unscriptural too. God showed, and he said these are samples. A lot of people say that we're not supposed to read the Old Testament anymore, but the New Testament says the Old Testament are examples for us. They're samples.
Mm-hmm.
God burned those homosexuals up because he despises them so much, and those lesbians. And then he also stated that they are, in the New Testament, he states in the first chapter of Romans that they're worthy of death. And so what they're doing is, the Bible says that they would make evil good and good evil. That's what they're doing now. They say, this is right, this is good to be a homosexual. Why do you want your little 2, 3, 4, and 5 year old son to be giving oral sex to these old bastards? Now, bastard is not profanity. What it is, it just means that these fatherless children. These people, that is the homosexual church, and it's the child-molesting church. And all these popes have been child molesters, and they're homosexuals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it would be bad enough. Some of them do that with little girls as well. They take them when they're extremely young, and there's a lot of priests that have admitted to that, and they said they finally got a hold of the Lord and they were saved. But they're going after people that are actually married.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Bible says that when a woman reaches puberty, that she can be married. And, you know, this is a long story and it probably would take up several programs, but I've been hammering at that on my program. And the reason for it is because they're trying to disprove the Bible, but the Bible tells us what's right and wrong. Homosexuality is absolutely forbidden and condemned by God's Word. And God, Jesus, is the Word of God, and that's condemned. But marriage, the government condemns. They say you cannot be married. If you are married to a woman, then you're going to get no tax break. You're going to be penalized for being married. But people that are homosexuals, they give them a tax break if they are not married, or even if they get married, because there's no chance of children evolving from that type of perversion.
Yeah, and you know, even to add to that, I remember reading a lawsuit that was filed in New York a long time ago in 1992, and the attorney I spoke with had represented an ex-Jesuit priest, and this lawsuit was interesting, but he was suing the Jesuits for failure to live up to their vows of poverty, chastity, and whatever. And one of the things in the lawsuit he mentioned was that behind the scenes, he said the hierarchy basically condone homosexuality while condemning marriage.
Yes.
And this is from a Jesuit priest.
And this, the Bible says, is doctrines of devils.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that when the Bible says this is Satan's church, that's where Satan sits, and that these are doctrines of devils. They're performing exactly what they are right in front of the general public. But the general public, I hear that most of them are on drugs or booze or something, and they just figure, well, who am I? I don't care. They don't care, but don't they realize that they're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire because of what they're doing?
Mm-hmm.
The whole, you know, it's amazing that so many cars can stay on the road, because it's a known fact that most of the people in the country are on drugs that are driving.
Yeah, and then when we start understanding who brings the drugs into this country.
Well, we know for sure that President Clinton brought a bunch of men, I mean, tons of them. And we, without any concern about people, see, the Pope wants everybody in the world to be under his thumb. So he has come up with this doctrine of democracy. We all must have a democracy, but really it's dictatorship.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they say, if they want to hurt somebody, they make it look like they bombed the World Trade Center. Hundreds of people have seen the FBI, the IRS, and all these different people in government go in and out of the Twin Towers. And they were planting these dynamite caps all throughout the building. And the reason they were able to do it, I think it was because of one of Bush's relatives was in charge of the watch there in security.
Yeah, that happened right before the Trade Center, right before, yeah. In fact, a month or two before, the some of Bush's Bush family member became the head of security there.
Yeah, I think he's the guy that tells the jokes and everything during the Miss America contest. Kind of
yeah.
Looks like Bushy. But anyway, that those people, and so they blame it on a country that would be very hard to take power and dominion over them in order, or in other words, a country that is so set in their ways into their religion that it would be almost, you'd have to dynamite them to give up their beliefs and believe in what the dictator calls democracy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it couldn't be democracy. We're supposed to be a republic for which we stand. one nation, not becoming part of the United Nations, but one nation indivisible with liberty and justice for all. But what they've done now is they call it democracy, and the Pope, the devil actually, is so in a hurry now to make everybody what they call democracy, which is really a dictatorship, that they're going in there and bombing them and making them bow down to the Pope or to Satan, so that they can, so Satan can say, well, even though I'm in hell now and burning, which there won't, he won't be saying this, but he'll be screaming his head off and grinding his teeth and chewing on his tongue, he'll say, at least I did rule the world. But he didn't rule those of us that are Christians, because I'll spit in his face if he comes in front of me. I'll spit in his rotten, lousy face. When I first got saved, I told Susie, I hope God gives me a machine gun so I can pump about 450 million rounds through his head. And she laughed at me and said, that won't do you any good, because he's a spirit and it won't hurt him.
Mm-hmm.
It'll just go right through his brain. So she says, the way that you get Satan is to preach the gospel. Just keep preaching the gospel and wising people up. And that is what's really hurting him. And that's why they're persecuting my church so much. We've been persecuted for going on 44 years now. And, you know, I just keep putting those pieces of literature out. I put one out called The Pope's Secrets and The Fugitive Pope, because John Paul II was the one that was making cyanide gas.
And they always refer to you as an anti-Catholic, as a Catholic basher, which is totally not true, you know.
Well, I definitely am a devil basher, and they are God bashers.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd rather be a Satan's basher than a God basher, because Satan's going to pay a dear price for what he's doing.
Yeah, and what I meant was that it's not against the Catholic people, it's against the hierarchy who has got them under their thumb, I think is what should be clarified.
See, love is the keeping of God's commandments, and love is the greatest love that you could ever have, is that you give your life to preach the gospel to the unsaved people so that they can believe. So I actually love everybody, because I'm preaching the gospel to everybody in the world, including the hierarchy and the Catholic laity and all these people. And many of them have believed. The Catholic attributes that I have destroyed half of their church just simply by, not bombs, bullets, or anything like that, because we don't have guns. Like they keep saying on television, we have no guns, never have had any, and never will. But what we have is the double-edged sword, the Word of God, and we keep preaching that people get saved. And we've destroyed half of that church, because most of the converts in my church have been former Catholics. They know that I'm telling the truth. The Catholics
right.
know it.
Right, good point. Well, listen, Pastor, we're going to take a break here. Going into a break, we'll come back in several minutes, and we'll continue this for the next half hour. My guest is Pastor Alamo. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States in 1963.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned, no secret is revealed. That is why the Athenian lawmaker Solon decreed it a crime for any citizen to shrink from controversy. I am asking your help in the tremendous task of informing and alerting the American people, confident that with your help, man will be what he was born to be, free and independent.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President today.
You were both in Skull and Bones, the secret society.
It's so secret we can't talk about it.
What does that mean for America?
It's so secret we can't talk about it.
What does that mean for America?
I've got a vision for what I want to do for the country. See, I know exactly where I want to lead. It's so secret we can't talk about it.
What does that mean for America?
But I'm never gonna lose your precious kid.
Okay, we're back. And you heard that clip, and I think Kennedy had it straight 40 years ago. He knew what was going on, and I think that's what led to his death. And then you heard Bush, and where he wants to lead us is right to the depths of hell, because he's just another minion working for the devil pope. And that's why they've been visiting, unprecedented numbers of times, the pope just visiting here 5 times. Bush has met with his master devil, and I tell you, that's where we're headed, folks. If you don't, and I think Pastor Alamo said it right, the way to fight these people is not through weapons, not through any type of violence. It's through preaching the gospel and spreading the word of Christ, because that hurts the devil the most. And I think Pastor Alamo has been trying to do that for 40 years, and it's quite interesting to me to see always how he gets attacked. Knows him better, I tell you on the air anyway, knows him better than I do, and I find it interesting because the Pope and his minions, right now are stepping up a campaign to quash any kind of, dissent, and they're doing it in many ways. Recently I've been under attack from certain people that I won't mention over the air, and I noticed Pastor Alamo has been too, so I find it quite interesting, Pastor, and this comes with the territory. You know it for the last 40 years. I've known it for the last 5 years, doesn't it?
Oh, yes. That is a wonderful tape that you had there of Kennedy, because that is really why they killed him, because he was turning his back on the Jesuit oath.
Mm-hmm.
They made him president, and they expected him to keep his mouth shut. And he didn't. Now they're trying to make it look like it was the mafia and that it was Oswald, all these different people. It was really them. They had several FBI people from Houston come there. There was a half a dozen of them, and they were taking pot shots. One of them was in a manhole, and they were all over the place shooting him. And they knew that it was by surprise. The people were really actually worshiping Kennedy, because he seemed to be for the people.
Well, he could have turned this whole thing around, and basically that's why they got rid of him, because, yeah, like you said, he turned his back on them.
Yeah.
And they expected him to live up to what the rest of the presidents do, and he decided no, and that's what led to his death. But and usually that's what will happen to a leader who does not follow the New World Order plan, because what they've done is created this kind of scenario that everything must end up the way, whatever political system, no matter what country, it's all working to move the New World Order one step farther. And Kennedy could have put them back a long, long time if he would have been allowed to do what he wanted to do. And that's why he was killed. And it's not just political, it was a religious aspect of this too that needs to be discussed. But as we look back at Kennedy, look into what's happened now, we see, I look at it this way, and I wanted to get your thoughts. Everything that they do, whatever it may be, has a, it's planned, but yet the plan is to do really two things. Bring the world closer to a one world religion and a one world government. And I think I just wanted to get your thoughts about that.
Right, that's already here. The one world religion, there's always going to be people that oppose it. The Bible says that we are like lambs among wolves, and we are not, we're in the world, but we're not of it. We don't go by this Satan's regime, by his plans. And they think they're getting by with it, but the Lord stated that he's going to start pouring out plagues on the earth, and he's already started doing it. In the chapter 24 of Matthew, he says that the people asked him, how is it, his disciples asked him, how is it that the world is going to come to an end? And the Lord started telling them that there shall be wars and rumors of wars and a whole bunch of things, and all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. And then the Lord's going to start pouring out plagues on the earth. And the people are so far asleep, at least I got them to where they're not saying it's Mother Nature anymore. God promises that he's going to pour out plagues of every kind on the earth. And they're happening more and more rapid all the time, and they're not going to stop. This government thinks it's all power, but God... Even the government is wondering, what shall we do? What shall we do? They don't have enough deep pockets to take care of all the wreckage that God is causing in the world. And it's going to get worse and worse. There shall rise up nation against nation. Well, that's all right. But these are just the beginning, and famines. And pestilences, that means all kinds of diseases, sickness, diseases, infirmities, and all those sort of things. And earthquakes in diverse, all different kind of places, like we just had the one there in China. They're actually expecting 100,000 dead there. All these are the beginning of sorrows, just the beginning. Now, these devils think, and they know very good and well that their time is short and that God said these things would happen. The whole book of Revelation, the last book in the Bible, tells us that all these things are going to come to pass. There's going to be a meteorite that's going to come down that's going to kill one-third of the people on earth at one time. And that's why if people are interested in staying alive and going to heaven, that they must repent. It isn't a situation as to whether they should or not. Jesus said, you must be born again. And then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Well, we are hated for all nations, but I will tell you one thing. I'd rather be hated by that bunch of devils than I would be for the Lord, because the Lord will deliver me. He always has, and he always will. And then shall many be offended at God and shall betray one another. And, you know, one of the worst things that ever happened, Jesus stated that the people, the person that turned him over to Caesar, he said he is worse of a devil than Caesar himself, because Jesus said you wouldn't have any power if I hadn't given it to you. But God gave him the power to kill Jesus, murder him, because without Christ being murdered and shedding his blood for the forgiveness of our sins, there's no possible way that we could be saved. So that's why they even tried to get him down from the cross. Come down, if you be the Son of God, come down from the cross. So people are betraying one another. They let a bunch of people out of prison if they would lie about me in the court on that IRS case.
Mm-hmm.
And they willingly did it. So these, Jesus said, the one that turned me over to you, which was Judas, is worst kind of sinner that there ever was. Well, these people that were let out of prison and turned me in on false charges, just like they did Jesus, they're more guilty than anybody else on the face of this earth, because they betrayed a person that they knew was of the Lord. And they shall betray one another and shall hate one another. I don't hate them. I mean, but because I preached the gospel, but I did what the Lord said to do.
Well, you know, I can say this from a personal experience, that when it, years ago, life in America was a lot cheaper. Things were a lot easier. But I'll tell you this. Even though things are more difficult for me now, I think ever since I found Christ, my life is much happier and things seem to be going much better in the face of this crisis than they were when things were going well in America, but yet not well in my life. And I think, I think you can attest to that being the same for you. It's amazing when you really start thinking about it, because, you know, you're not alone if you have Christ, correct?
Absolutely. There's so many false prophets that are in the world today. We're never alone if we have the Lord. If we have Jesus, we also have God, because Jesus was God come in the flesh. He was begotten by God, by the Holy Spirit, and therefore he is the Son. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are the Trinity, and they are one. And we're never alone, and the Lord somehow, some way, always makes sure that you have food. And we don't know that there's a gas crunch on now, because we're still filling our tanks full of gas because the Lord wants us out there, putting people, setting them straight with what's going on in the world today. And so all of our witnessing crews go on. And they say, well, it's cost $100 or $120 to fill the car. I says, is that your worry? And you get to fill it up, don't you? And they said, yes, sir. And I says, well, then don't worry about it.
Yeah, and the real point is that's exactly why the Vatican, I believe, and Satan's followers want to still at this point get rid of Bible believers like they did during the Inquisition. In the old days, because this is the thing they really can't stand, and that is to have people talking the way you do, because they want you to say, oh my God, I can't live anymore, we're under the thumb, and then all of a sudden somebody's going to come up and say, we will save you, and that will be the Antichrist from Rome.
Yeah, they'll say, well, if you can, like for instance, I cannot get a credit card. Before we became, I got so angry at them and started really telling the truth on them. I had a stack of credit cards that no one would be able to have more than I had. And because of the iniquity in the world, I had to go out and tell about it. And the Bible says that because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. That means that a lot of people, Christians, will stop preaching the gospel because there's so much iniquity. People don't know one day from the next whether somebody's going to shoot them in their automobile for no reason at all.
Mm-hmm.
Or they think it's no reason at all. But the Lord now is smashing hundreds of thousands of people that are believing in Buddha and Muhammad and all these people. Now, these things that I'm saying right now are things that are so offensive today. In other words, you can say all the evil you want about God, the real God who created heavens and earth, heaven and the earth and everything that is therein, but he that shall, but a person that is of the Lord that endures to the end, the same shall be saved.
And that is the reason, if you look, Pastor, at Islam, and you look at the Catholicism, they're so similar, and when you start understanding that the Vatican created Islam, and together, you see the Vatican now, and through Catholicism, wanting to unite with Bible believers here, wanting to unite with Islam there, and it's just, to me, very obvious what they're trying to do, and, basically, what they're trying to do is usurp any type of freedom, freedom-loving people, freedom-worshipping people, and turn them all into just robots who worship the Pope.
Yeah.
It, you know.
The Lord said we have to be unified because the body of Christ is one person. Christ is the head, and all the rest of the members of the body of Christ are real Christians. And we have to be united. We have to be good to one another, as the Lord says good is. In other words, if we see somebody doing something evil, we have to tell them about it.
Mm-hmm.
And if we see somebody that's doing good, we have to know that that person is of the Lord, and that we need to unite with that person, because the stronger we get and unite ourselves, and we're unified. But the devil wants us to unify with the Antichrist, with all these false religions. And, of course, those of us that are saved will wind up in hell if we ever decided to do any foolish thing like that. So the gospel of the kingdom of God shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. Well, that's real close. And when we see these plagues coming down to earth as they are today, we know that this is the very end of time. And all these plagues, these people that have all these diseases and sicknesses and infirmities, and you see one earthquake after the other, and these blizzards and these high winds putting here in Burma over 100,000 dead also. It won't get any better. It's going to get worse and worse. And I would be a false prophet if I didn't say that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So tell me, what's the state of your, how your ministry is moving along now? I know we've talked much about it, but in the present days, how are things going with everything that you're doing?
Oh, we are just so excited, it's unbelievable. There's everything is going good. The devil hates the Word of God, and so they back off from it. But what they're doing now is they're turning police officers on our people. They go, they're in the city working on different houses and stuff, and they know where you are because they don't have anything better to do than to pay attention to us. They go up and start giving them the third degree. How many children do you have? Like, that's their business. You know, you got a police officer that if he wasn't given an opportunity to be a police officer, he'd be washing dishes over at Wendy's or over at Trudy's Diner someplace. Because that's the scope of their intelligence. So, but outside of that, you know, just aggravation, irritation, and a bunch of stupid people bringing false accusations against us, we expect that, and so therefore we've geared up for that. We we hear all the things, you see stories on TV, they pulled some woman, they got a woman that was on TV the other day who they took out of the Middle East.
Somebody told me that you made it on TV again or something.
Yeah, well, it was the Dr. Phil show.
Okay.
And I never even, about 2 months ago he asked if I would be on his show, and I looked at it for a while and I said, I'm not going to go on that half-wit show.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why should I? And what they do is they pull this girl out of the mental institution. He uses these kind of people to build up his program on the likes of these pitiful women. Then we did a background check on him, found out that he was married years ago. It was in the Time magazine. And he had abandoned his wife and was going out with many young females, real young ones. And he was telling them, when his wife would question him, he'd tell her, oh, come on, you know, I love you, but this is the way the world is. You know, we go out and have sex with other women. This is the kind of guy. And he's not allowed to practice his profession of being a psychologist anywhere in the world. And yet he's doing it on television. And so he's very careful, though, because he's fairly smart in this way. He really chooses his words. He said, I hear that Alamo has guns. He doesn't say, I know.
He said that on the air.
I hear that they do. And then he points to this a crazy-looking guy that he said was his investigator in the audience, and he said, "That's bad. That's bad." You know, and I've made it known, and we've been raided many times by people, by the government, when they hear that we have guns. They've never, ever found one, not even a cap pistol or a water pistol at all. So this man is trying to pull us down to his level, and we're not going for it. And I'm really pounding him on for the last few programs that I've had. I laid off of him now because I figured, but we have the reports of how crazy this woman is that he has on there. She beats her kids with iron, and they had her on television. They set the cameras up, Dr. Phil in there, and they showed her beating the tar out of her own kids and also this other girl that was there. And she's had her children taken away from her because she did such a bad job on the, what she would call a good job with beating them. And so Dr. Phil even turned it around and said, "You, I don't believe anything you say." So, yet there's still people that believe her after she's been proven to be a big liar. Dr. Phil said, "You're a big liar." But he said a lot of slurs about the church as though they were true. And then, of course, they show a picture of the church. One of our churches right in front of the place. Like,
so it was a definite attempt to disparage your name, correct?
Yeah. So what I do is I'm slinging mud at them, but my mud is the truthful things. I can throw a picture of the United Nations building up and start talking bad about it, but what I would be saying would be the truth. But what they do is take a picture of your church and start saying, you know, there they are, this is where they are, and then they get some yokel half-wit, and they say, yeah, they keep to themselves. Nobody knows what's going on in there.
Mm-hmm.
There's not, we keep to ourselves because those people in that town of Falk are nuts. They're crazy. And they shot bullets into our windows, and so they says we keep to ourselves. In other words, what are we supposed to go to? Their bar mitzvahs and bat mitzvahs and go to their parties and stuff. We just stay alone because I told everybody, you know, they could kill you because they threatened to kill us. I mean, they said, "We believe that you people in your church would be better off if all those children would be dead."
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's the thinking of those half-wits in that town of Falk, Arkansas. They just put up a sign right by the, we have pictures of it, right next to these, the name of the town, Falk, Arkansas. They got a big sign, even bigger than the one that names it. It says, "No niggers."
Oh, boy.
That used to be the headquarters of the Ku Klux Klan, and so that's what we're doing there. They hate blacks, and we have a few of them in the church, and they hate Jews, and that's me, and they also hate Christians. And some of the people in that town that have come against us have dropped dead, and a lot of the whole town is like they're alarmed because of we're just keeping our business, and we had to hire security guards there, just like Walmart does, because they were shooting bullets into our church. And they're very friendly people, but we have them there just as a warning to people. Don't mess around. Don't tread on me. Don't walk over me, because if you do, we have security guards out here, and we're taking pictures of it, too.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're not hurting anybody there. We do keep to ourselves. We've invited everybody in town to the services. But they don't want to do that. They just want to keep coming against us and doing what they say they're going to do, but it doesn't bother us. But the thing is, you know, when they say these things about you on television, it's kind of hard for you to walk around
because
they know what you look like now, you know.
Yeah, it's geared to really just basically turn your Christian church into a cult.
Yeah.
And basically the cult we know is in Rome.
That's right. And they're all, they say that they're after all these child abusers. My God, they'd have a field day there, but no one dares come against the Catholic cult because they don't want their houses to be raided at nighttime. It's a bunch of cowards.
Yeah.
They will not prosecute them either for all the little children that they've...
Well, let me tell you, we go back to the Cardinal of New York, who at the time during the Vietnam War was Cardinal Spellman, and I've had a police investigator from New York tell me bluntly he was a homosexual pedophile. And the same now with Cardinal Egan. So, I mean, we are, you know, and what has ever done? And, I mean, these guys have so much power. And what they do is they blame you for what they do.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But, you know, thinking of their power in comparison to the Lord's, the Lord is smashing them with all these plagues. So
yep.
many of them have got cancer, heart trouble, AIDS, you name it, and he's hitting their cities. And it won't be long before all of them get it.
Well, listen, Pastor Alamo, we're all out of time. I want to thank you again. We'll have you on for another monthly visit. And you just keep the faith and keep spreading the word of Christ. And I wish you the best.
God bless you, too.
Okay. Pastor Tony Alamo, we'll be back in 2 minutes on the Investigative Journal.